So, amen. Revelation chapter 22. In fact, Lord willing, we're ending our last message in our series on prophecy. And what a great way to end it in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. And we'll be looking, we did talk about the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. So now we're going to be looking again in chapter 22 about the final revelation. The final revelation, and that is verses 6 to the end of the chapter. And with God's help, we'll get through this today. Pray for me as I'm able to preach today God's truth to you. Revelation 22, let's just read the rest of these verses. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as he his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to read the prophecies of this book, to study the prophecies even of the book of Revelation, but throughout the Bible. Now, Father, help us to have this same attitude in our hearts today because of what we've learned, because of what we studied about your coming, about the things that will happen after your coming to catch your bride away. Father, we know that so many things are going to happen on this earth. And Father, we know that judgments will happen. And we see, even in this last chapter, there's some warnings. Warnings that we ought to heed. So, Father, help us today as we unfold this passage. Give me wisdom. Give me direction from the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me remind you that you should turn your cell phones off during the preaching unless it's an emergency. And secondly, do not move unnecessarily in the services, meaning, you know, go to the bathroom between services unless it's emergency. Do not use the bathroom. It does hinder the preaching, and it hinders the hearers, and it hinders the Holy Spirit. So let's do our best to remain in your seats with Bibles open, with hearts open, with minds open to obey. Receive God's word and do his will. Amen. This passage closes the great book of Revelation. Now, we didn't study the book of Revelation, although, Lord willing, and God's doing some work. We're going to have a Bible conference in October. We have a special preacher coming, and God may be leading him, not through the book of Revelation, but through the first chapters. We talked about it and prayed about it. And then after he's done with the first couple chapters, I may continue in that series, but God knows, amen. The book of Revelation is important, and as every book of the Bible. But we find the final words of Jesus here. Amen? It's the last book of the Bible. And Jesus Christ himself sounded forth this message. He revealed the end of time. He revealed what is going to happen during the last years of human history. Wow, what an amazing book. You get the final, you know, the last years of human history. And we know what God's going to do. The things that he has shown us have been astounding. They have been amazing. And I realize I'm not going to compete with, you know, Star Wars or Avengers or all these things, you know, Spider-Man and all the things coming out in the theaters. And that's what's wrong. You know, people want to live up here with all this entertainment. They come to the house of God and they want you to entertain them. We're not here to entertain. But your mind and your heart should have the ability to be amazed at these things. You need the energizing of the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. There should be some amazement here at God's glory, at God's majesty, at what he has revealed, his supreme wisdom, his power. You know, we see that God, throughout even the book of Revelation, he can take all the ungodliness and the evil of this world, and he could use all that even at the end. Everyone's going to glorify him, even through that. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to see three things in this passage. Our attention is drawn to three things. Number one, the faithful word of God. The faithful word of God. Amen? Amen. The faithful word of God. And then we'll see the finished work of Christ. And then we'll see the final witness of the Spirit. At least that's my intention today to finish. I don't want to keep you long. And tonight is the Lord's Supper. So these things in this passage, I just constantly am amazed that we can meditate on Christ and that we can get our hearts prepared even to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight as a church. And I hope you take these things to heart today. The faithful word of God. You see, back even when sin entered the world, what did Satan do? He questioned the word of God. Remember, Eve. She entertained that question. She began to doubt the accuracy and authority of God's word. You can go back and study that. But aren't you amazed that begins with Satan questioning God's authority, God's accuracy? And here the last chapter deals with that very subject, the accuracy and authority of the word of God. And so we need to keep that in our hearts. it says here in verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings, this is the word of God, are what? Faithful and true. What is he saying? He's speaking here about the accuracy of the word of God. The accuracy. This message is faithful, meaning it can be trusted. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. This message is true. It's not a lie. It's not false. It's not created by the imagination of man. This is the truth of God's word. And let me remind you today, truth is absolute. The truth of God is absolute. What he says is true. What he says should not ever be changed. And we're reminded of that again, amen, in this chapter. The message of this book and the message of the prophecies that we studied throughout this series came from the same Lord that inspired the prophets of old. Amen. He gave them their message. And he gave us this great message of revelation. Maybe you should take some time. I know if you're reading through the Bible, you will be taking time to read the whole book of Revelation before this year is up. Whether we either believe this message or we do not believe the message is the word of God. Where do you stand today? What do you believe about the Bible? We either believe or do not believe the prophets of old and the writers of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ has done just what this verse declares. He has shown us the things, what does it say here? That shortly will be done. These sayings are faithful and true in the Lord God of the holy prophets. The same Lord, the same God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, you either believe that or you don't. Did Jesus do that? Did Jesus truly do that? But whatever our decision is, we'd better listen to what he has to say in the remaining points of this passage. Failure to do so. Listen, this message here can doom you for all eternity if you don't believe it. So we see the accuracy of the Word of God. We also see the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. Verses 7 through 9. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that does what? Keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not. He's talking about the worship there unto the angel, amen? But what was the attitude of John? He fell down to worship. For I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Listen, the authority of the word of God, number one, demands our obedience. What's he saying here? He said, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy. If you remember, go back to Revelation 1. He started out the book in verse 3. By encouraging us about the truth of God's word, the authority of God's word. What does he say here? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and do what? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Brethren, there's a blessing when you obey God's word. Thank God you can read it. Thank God you can hear it. But the blessing comes when you obey it, when you do it, amen, when you keep the word of God. Now, when we see through this book, we have an awareness of God's presence and what he's doing on the earth. We see what's coming, the judgments, and we need to be able to be better prepared, even through studying the word of God. We see also through the judgments, remember the tribulation period, we will understand more about the ungodly and evil of this world, more about how God is going to conquer all the evil and bring righteousness to earth Amen. If you read and study and obey, God's going to open your eyes. You're going to understand heaven more. You're going to be stirred to long for heaven more. Amen. Amen. You'll be drawn by the Spirit of God into a more intimate fellowship with the Lord. And you're going to be waiting for Him to come back. You know, how many could pray this prayer? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, most are going to say, Lord, I need more time. Let's not be like that if we're living right for the Lord. You see, the authority of God's word demands obedience, but it demands worship, verse 8 and 9. He fell down to worship. So John, when he heard the prophecies of Revelation, he was so astounded. He was gripped with a spirit of fear and worship. That's where I'm saying, you know, only God, by His power of His Holy Spirit, can work in our hearts today as you read this chapter. You should be gripped with a spirit of fear and worship. Fearing God in a good way, amen? That will lead you to worship. That will lead you to obedience. Now, he fell down at the feet of the angel who was delivering the message. If you go throughout this study, this is the second time that John had done this. In chapter 19, go back there in verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Brethren, think about that. You see, when he's so amazed, it just drove him to worship. Amen? And I know he may have not gotten it right to worship, you know, before the angel, and he was rebuked by that. But the whole point is this: Revelation should astound us so much and stir us to worship God. But let's make sure we're worshiping the true and living God. Amen. Not man. Aren't you thankful for the accuracy of the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God? But thirdly, we see the accessibility of the Word of God. Aren't you thankful today that we have access to the Word of God? He saith unto me, verse 10, seal not the sayings of the book of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Brethren, aren't you thankful that we have an open book? We have a book that we can understand, that we can read. We have the truth of God's Word, and it's accessible. I like what Paul says to the Romans. He says, the Word is nigh thee. It's nigh. Brethren, this is true. We can read and study God's Word. The instructions of the Lord here are clear. The book of Revelation was never to be sealed. That is closed, but it's to be read. It's to be studied. It's to be preached. It's to be obeyed. Amen. And why? Because he said, the time for these events to fall upon the earth are at hand. You say, well, that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, just think about it now, how close we are, amen? Amen. Our redemption draws nigh, the Bible says. And so we can never be prepared, nor we can prepare others unless we understand what is coming and get ready for His coming. And the time of His coming, at that time, remember, some will be ashamed. We saw in 1 John, I think 2:28, that some will be ashamed. Why? Because they weren't ready. And the other thing is, it could be too late for many. That's what we're going to get into this passage. So we see first of all, the faithful Word of God. Secondly, today, the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ, verses 11 to 16. And it begins, you know, with a separation, verses 11. It tells us here, very clearly, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. I want you to think of the two thieves on the cross. You know, here's Christ in between them and that decision. That decision that day separated them, did it not? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his, as his work shall be. The finished work of Christ, it settles what who we are, or what we are, first of all, settles what we are. And this is what we see today. Men are born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. It is only through the work of Christ. Do you understand? Through Jesus Christ that you can be fashioned anew, made anew, and you can be fitted for heaven if you come to Christ. You, apart from faith in Christ and from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, this is how people live. They're unjust still. They're filthy still. Think about those terms. I mean, that's just, they're going to be wicked. They're going to go on being wicked. Think about that thief on the cross. He died blaspheming. And Jesus, and you know what? He's going to still be blaspheming Christ in eternity. The wicked die and they go on being wicked for all eternity. The lost go on sinning and therefore go on suffering for all eternity. The righteous, however, on the other hand, continue being righteous and they are eternally holy and they are eternally happy. And Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, stands between the sinner and the saint, separating the one from the other in time, even now, and eternity. It settles what we are. It settles also where we are. Amen. It says this, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work should be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. And that they and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So the message of Revelation is about the Lord's return and judgment to come. That's what he's saying in verse 12. To give every man according as his work shall be. He's going to come and he's going to judge. Now, the Bible says, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly, meaning his coming is imminent. It's at hand. And the whole thing that Jesus is trying to get us to understand, brethren, is to be ready. He's coming soon. He's coming quickly. Now, this judgment is based upon two things. It will be based on the works of men, based on what we have done, and it will be based upon the person of Jesus Christ, verse 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This means that he is both the creator and finisher of the universe. He spans all of time and all the universe. He began all things. He finishes all things. Therefore, he will finish earth and the heavens above, and he will judge them all. He will judge all who have acted against him. He will judge all who lived ungodly lives, lived contrary to his godliness. But aren't you thankful? It's not just about those who are rejected. It's about those who are accepted. Amen. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. How can you come to this place where God's going to say about you that you do his commandments? The only way is to be saved. You can't keep God's word without being saved. And we know that obedience to Christ and doing the will of God has its rewards. There may be a price to pay for obeying Him in this life. Is there not? People may laugh at you, scorn you, like we're learning in God's Word on Sunday night in the book of Nehemiah. They may scorn you. They may mock you. They may persecute you. There may be a price. But aren't you thankful that that price is only a short amount of time? And then your reward will be for all eternity. Amen? Forever and ever. That's the reward of obedience. Amen? In eternity. So, if you are obedient, it gives you rights. Now, these rights, we have, it's twofold. Amen? Number one, it says here, a right to the tree of life. They may have right to the tree of life. We've learned about the tree of life in verse 2. Having a right to partake of this tree is a right that exceeds any rights here on earth. Amen? You're going to live forever in verse 2. It says, in the midst of verse 2, of the same chapter, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the fruit were for the healing of the nations. Amen? It's a tree of life. And when you eat of that tree, you live forever and ever and ever, and you're healed forever and ever and ever. So we have a right to the tree, but secondly, you have a right to the city. Amen? You just read about the city, verses 1 to 5. And in a great part of that is in chapter 21, the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem. We read about that in chapter 21. He says, not only are you going to have the right to the tree of life, but you're going to have a right to enter through the gates of the city, the gates of the city. This is the greatest right of all. Amen. How many in the lake of fire would certainly love to enter into the city, but will never do so, the Bible tells us. They will never enter. So the message of Revelation tells us who is accepted by the Lord, but it also tells us who is rejected by the Lord. Verse 15. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So we've gone over this, chapter 21, there's some verses. Those who are cast out into the lake of fire, there's some verses there, chapter 20. So we see who are the ones that will not enter. And it's sad that the Bible has to describe them as a dog. You see, what it's describing, isn't it sad that the sinfulness today of man has to describe them as this? Because a dog in the Bible was wild, a wild dog. And it was a symbol of roaming about, of being mean, of being savage, of being dirty, of being immoral. And so it's talking about those who live mean and savage lives, dirty and moral lives, will never be allowed to enter the heavenly city. He has the sorcerers here, the immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and all liars will be rejected, as we have seen in chapter 21. In verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It settles also whose we are. Amen. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. He's telling us, I've sent my angel to testify unto you these things where? In the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. If we are saved, that is who we belong to. Amen. We belong to Jesus. He is the lover of the church. He's the Lord of the earth. He's the light of creation. And we belong to Him. We should thank God for the finished work of Christ, which lies behind all these magnificent statements that we're reading in the closing of this book. What is the important message today? It's this. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you repented of your sins? Have you received Him by faith? Are you ready for His coming? Are you ready for the judgment day? Amen? Amen. Then last of all, but not least of all, the witness of the Spirit, verses 17 through 21. Now, it's fitting that the closing of the sacred canon of Scripture closes with a reference to the Holy Spirit, for He is the author of this book, as we have learned many times. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the closing of the inspired Word of God. And I want you to see some last here. Some last. But it's not last as in we still keep giving this invitation, amen. But we have the last welcome. What does he say in verse 17? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Aren't you thankful we're a part of that, amen? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, amen. Come. Come is the greatest word in the gospel. You think about the days of Noah when they were building the ark and God was sending out that message to come inside the ark. Amen. Jesus walked on the earth and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again and again, the blessed word rings out. Come, amen. Before the closing of the book, the Spirit cries out again, come. And the bride, the church says, come, amen. That's what we're doing. When we go out to our neighborhoods, we're telling everyone, come to Christ, amen. Come to Jesus Christ. And it's the last welcome. And just think, if you don't heed this last welcome of God's word, you're going to hear in that judgment day, not welcome, but depart. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let every lost sinner come. Let everyone within the sound of this welcoming invitation come and drink of the water of life freely. This water of life is offered here, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. Amen? We read about this. And the world, what is the world like? The world is like a desert. It's barren. It's bare to the soul. It's just like the sands of a desert. Men and women are dying of spiritual thirst in this world. Yet here we have this invitation, come, take of the water of life. Amen? And it says, freely, freely. I like what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman there in John 4. He says, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, Jesus said. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the water that Jesus offers today, everlasting life. What about the rich man in hell? He just wanted one drop of that water, didn't he? When he was alive, he might have come and received eternal life and access to the river of life, but he never came. Now for all eternity, he must be tormented with his cravings and his longings forever unquenched. So there's a last welcome here. It rings out. God is saying, come. The church is saying, come. The Spirit is saying, come. Amen. There's a last welcome and there's a last warning. What does it say? I know we don't like to hear the negative, but we have to. It says in verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto the things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There's a warning. This warning was given throughout the Bible, by the way. I know we like to hear it at the end of Revelation, and sometimes we just apply it. But I want you to understand, whenever God spoke and he used the prophets and he used men of God, like in Deuteronomy 4, he said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That was in the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Proverbs, God says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou shalt not add unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God will not have his word tampered with. It's during all times of Revelation, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, God is warning us. How about Eve? She tried to add unto the word of God. She tried to subtract from the word of God. And her sin opened the door that followed with a curse, a banishment from the tree of life, of peril and eternal doom. That's where it ends up. And so God is saying here, if you tamper with my word, you're gonna be judged. You're going to experience all the plagues that I am warning about here. And I think it does have to do with the book of Revelation, does it not? God guards this book. And he guards it with a terrible warning. And God is teaching us here, he's zealous about his word. He doesn't want any man adding to it. Some people think they know more than God, and they want to add their profoundness to the book. No, God's only going to add plagues to them and punishment to them, amen? How about subtracting from the book? You're going to be subtracted from the blessings of God. God's going to take away your part out of the book of life. Amen? This does not teach loss of salvation, but those who subtract from the book demonstrate their unbelief. They've never believed. Amen? That's what I'm getting at. It's not you're going to lose it. No, you never had it. Amen? And he's going to take away the blessings. He's going to take away... That's what he's saying here in verse 19. God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There's a blessing for those who read it, hear and obey it. There's a curse if you tamper with God's word. If you add or take away, there's a curse. Then there's the last word. Verses 20 and 21, the last word. There's the last word here. Surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Three times in this closing chapter, the Lord breaks in to remind us that he's coming quickly. This is the last word. And it does seem like for us a long time since that promise was given, and as we trace the history of the past 2,000 years. But remember this, 2,000 years is only like 2 days for God, amen? At any moment now, the sky may open and he may take his saints home to glory. And the church should respond, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's how we should respond. We address him to the very end as Lord, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. He may refer to himself as Jesus, and the Holy Spirit may call him Jesus, but our name for him should be Lord, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think the very last word, think of these, this last verse in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The very last word is a word about grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. How like God to close his book with a final reference to his grace, as we've been learning even in Sunday school in the book of Jonah. Last week it was sung here, Amazing Grace, and I want to borrow from John Newton and think about the final reference to God's grace. He sang and wrote about that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Amen. When you close this book, aren't you thankful that God says, I'll give you grace. I will save you by grace. I'll help you stand in grace. I'll give you strength through my grace, and you can suffer through grace, and you can do everything through the grace of God. That's the message. I'm thankful for that. As we close our study today on these events of prophecy, I want you to understand God's will is to live in expectancy of the return of the Lord. If we live in expectancy, meaning that you truly expect God, Jesus, to come back, you're waiting for him, what's going to happen? Number one, you will want to see other people saved. You'll want to go out and witness. And that's what's going to happen if you are expectant of his return. Secondly, you're going to truly live a life that's pure. You're going to be confessing your sins. You're going to be keeping yourself right with God because you expect him to return. I think this study about prophecy should help you today. Even as you're thinking about these last verses, put it all in perspective. To obey God, to worship God, to really love his word, and to humble yourself before the authority of God's word, to be a witness, just like the Spirit, the church and the bride, the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is where we should have that same yearning to tell people to come to Christ. I think if you are right with the Lord, you would be praying just like John right here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I ask you today, are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the judgment day? This is God's word. It demands worship. It demands obedience. Will you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We have a moment.